This morning's New Testament lesson is from the very last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Hear now God's word for us this morning. This is a letter from John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you, and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Thanks be to God for his word for us this morning, the word of the Lord. Sorry, I'm new. I'm trying to get the right words at the end of the scripture, you know. Go with us. We're the new kids on the block today. You know, everyone was asking us this morning, where's the heat? I don't know. Where are the lights? I don't know. Where, you know, we can, Sorry. Ignorance reigns this morning. Well, but I do have a piece of trivia. Let's see if you can answer this. Do you know what today is? It's Sunday. Woo, you're good. You're awake this morning. Yes. It's Christ the King Sunday, and it is also the last day of the church year. Christ the King Sunday is the last day of the church year. Now, Christ the King Sunday probably isn't very meaningful to all of us who take pride in living in a democracy because, you know, we celebrated this week the fact that we, you know, left a monarchy and created our own nation. But I personally am thrilled to worship with you on Christ the King Sunday because, okay, I have to admit it, I'm a royal watcher. Yep, one of those nerds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When Prince Andrew turned 21, I threw a party for him in my dorm room. Yeah, it wasn't exactly royal splendor. I served, I don't know, like saltines and Diet Coke or something, but I did buy a card and had everyone in my, you know, party in the dorm room sign it and sent it off to England. Well, when I went to college, there was only snail mail, and we had all our mailboxes in the student union. So you can imagine my shock and glee when one day I looked to my mailbox, and there was an envelope from Buckingham Palace in it, a return reply. So I, you know, whipped it out. I was so proud, going to show it off. But it wasn't signed by real royalty. It was a chain letter signed by, I don't know, some palace lackey. And I went, oh, well. But still, it was pretty cool. Well, the book of Revelation talks about real royalty, the kingship of Jesus Christ. Now, some people treat Revelation as a puzzle about when the end times are coming, but Revelation isn't really a book about when. It's a book about who. The who being Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is the King of heaven and earth. Now, those of us who don't bow down to a king in our national lives may have a hard time trying to grasp what it's like to live under the dominion of a king. But the people to whom this letter was written, and Revelation is a letter, understood what it meant to live under a king. For those early Christians, it meant suffering. Their monarch, at the time of this letter, was a micromanaging tyrant who expected his subjects to worship him. Well, Christians worshiped Jesus Christ, so they were exiled to the remote island of Patmos, if indeed they weren't martyred, for their faith. So these persecuted early Christians were actually strengthened by these kind of weird words of revelation that make us scratch our heads and go, huh? They understood it. Well, despite some of the funky words, Revelation makes a clear point then, as well as a clear point for Christians today. And that point is, with Jesus Christ, there is hope. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. In other words, he is the King, the penultimate royal. Well, about 10 years ago, I was in England for the Queen's Jubilee coronation celebration. Early that morning, I took my daughter, who was 13 at the time, to the front gates of Buckingham Palace, and I got to tell you, we were the first ones there. And I had not one, but two cameras with me, because this was a royal watcher's dream come true. So we waited. We waited at the gate. Did I tell you I was first in line? And the crowd started building, and eventually the cars started moving out of Buckingham Palace. First the lesser royals, and then came Prince Andrew. Hi, remember me? The one with the car, you know? Yeah, he didn't remember me. And then came Prince Charles, the future King of Britannia. Well, we were all waiting for the Queen, and here she was coming, the world's most popular royal. So I got not one, but two cameras ready. I was really busy preparing them. A major, major cheer went up from the crowd. The Queen's big car started approaching, and I was right there, first at the gate. You want to see my pictures? Okay. Truth be known, I was so busy fiddling with my cameras to get everything just right that by the time I looked up, all I saw was the back of the Queen's car. Did I tell you I was first in line? Yeah. You know, sometimes we are so busy trying to get everything just right, just the way we want it, that we miss the point. We try to capture the moment, but we miss the point. Or sometimes we are just so busy that our eyes are cast down, we are distracted, and we fail to see royalty. We fail to see Jesus Christ right in front of us. Revelation says, look, look up. Jesus is the King for eternity. Look forward. Jesus is the King of the future. And look around you. Jesus is the King who is present. Now, when we look up, we trust that all those who worshiped Jesus as Lord are gathered with God in heaven. And I wonder what that party looks like. I wonder, does it have the pomp of a royal wedding, like between Lady Diana and Prince Charles, you know, with those sleeves that were like, woo, and the train that was, I don't know, 3 million feet long or something? That was a lot of pomp. You think that's what the party looks like in heaven? I don't know. This Thanksgiving, I remembered that as a kid, at Thanksgiving, I used to think I would sit at the kids' table forever. And that was fine by me. I didn't have to eat my vegetables. I could talk with my cousins and ignore the boring adult conversation. Yet I could still see my parents, my aunts, uncles, my grandparents, all those whom I loved and respected so dearly. I was happy at the kids' table. My world was good. Now, when I think of the kingdom of God, honestly, I don't see a lot of pomp and circumstance. I see a big party, a big feast, like how it looked from the kids' table. Who knows? Maybe everyone but Jesus is at the kids' table in heaven, or maybe Jesus is the head of the kids' table, or maybe he's the waiter. I don't know. But I do know how much love I have received in my life. And I believe that all those whom I loved as a child are now with all those whom they loved as children. And I believe that this beautiful cycle continues in the kingdom of God and will continue for future generations. I'd like to think and hope that all our family quirks will be gone and all the love will be magnified, and together we will honor and worship the King in peace and in joy. That's what I believe. But what do you believe? What do you believe about the kingdom of God? What do you believe? On this Christ the King Sunday, take a little time and think about what you believe to be the kingdom of God, and remember to look up, but also look forward. Now, I bet I'm not the only one who gets distracted by what I think is important. So tell me, what keeps your eyes cast downward? What distracts you? Where in life are you busy looking down, fiddling to get everything just right, that you miss the important stuff, you know? And guess what? We can't look down and look forward at the same time. It just is impossible. And as Christians, we are called to look forward, because it's true for those of us living in a democracy today, as it was for those living during the time of Revelation under tyranny. When we look forward, we have hope, because the future is God's, and we belong to God. We have hope. And when we look down, we lose sight of the future God has in store for each one of us, for each one of us. So remember to look forward, but also look around. Christ the King is in our midst right here. Now, it's not always easy to see Christ in our midst. There is so much hurt and pain and suffering in our world that often our vision gets obscured. You know, after I got that letter from Buckingham Palace like 30 years ago, I framed it, but its novelty wore off, and why waste a perfectly good frame? So I put a picture of a boyfriend on top of the letter, and of course that relationship lasted 2 minutes, so I, you know, closed the frame, put it face down in a box, and totally forgot about it. Well, years later, at least a decade later, Prince Andrew went off my radar, and he was replaced by the exciting Princess Diana. You know, by this time I was home knee-deep in dirty diapers, and she was out gallivanting around the world in great clothes and a tiara. I thought it was pretty fun to watch what Diana was up to. Well, I found the frame. And I tossed the picture of the ex-boyfriend, because I was now married, and lo and behold, there was that letter from Buckingham Palace. Well, I read it, thinking it was funny, and then I did a double take at the signature. The person I wrote off as just some lackey was a Spencer, as in the father of Lady Diana Spencer. You know, sometimes to notice royalty, to see Jesus in our midst, we have to shed some assumptions. Oh, that person isn't important. That person's just a lackey. Oh, and this person, now this person is important. Well, to see Jesus, we may need to remove those blinders which foster our assumptions about who belongs in the royal circle and who doesn't, because when we make those assumptions, that usually means that we've put ourselves in the center of the royal circle rather than Jesus Christ. And also to see Jesus in our midst, sometimes we may have to look behind what's right in front of us. Like that letter was behind a picture. Now, I want you to think back on a rough time in your life. At the time, I bet you couldn't see anything but the challenge that was right in front of you. But looking back, can't you see that grace was there all along, usually just behind what was obvious? Or you may have been recently with someone going through a rough time where you had to be the eyes for that person, the eyes to see the grace when that person's vision was too clouded by pain. I'm thinking now of Betty Mitchell. You know, she can't see beyond her pain, but sometimes if we, as members of Christ's family, just sit with her, eventually she will be able to know that Jesus Christ was in her midst by her WPC family, who was just with her, holding her in prayer and loving her through this time of grief. Yes, the Lord is present. So remember to look around you, for you will see Jesus Christ. So quit looking down. Quit fiddling around with the inconsequential stuff of life. Yes, I know we live in a democracy, yet that's no excuse. We are called to worship the King. So put down your cameras. Royalty is right here. And let me tell you, the royal wave, yeah, it doesn't look like this. It looks like this. Arms spread out on a cross, encompassing all in love. Arms spread out for you. Jesus Christ was the King yesterday, is the King today, and will be the King tomorrow. All hail the King. Alleluia. And all God's kingdom said, Amen. Knowing how much Jesus Christ has done for each one of us, now let us give through our